You would be getting your Bibles out and turning over to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be talking today, like Kyle said, the songs that we just sang about, being soldiers in the Lord's army. You know, we sing several songs, especially in the little, even from the little kids class, you know, in the Lord's army, and the battle belongs to the Lord that we just sang. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, and even that song we just sang a second ago, Soldiers of Christ Arise, in verse 3, it talks about the panoply of God. And that word panoply is what I've the panoply of God, that the armor of the Lord is what we're going to talk about today. And that word comes from a Greek word, panoplion, referring to that military dress and weapons, and how do we use that in our everyday life? And that's what we're going to talk about today. In our lesson, if you go over to 2 Timothy, if you want to put a bookmark there in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be back and forth there several times. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." He has fought the good fight. There's a fight that we're in, and that's what Paul's talking about. There's that fight. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, is that fight, that battle that we're in every day. You go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading there in verse 10. And I have it on the screen if you want to follow along. It is kind of hard to read. I put all those verses on one slide. But in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, Paul writes there also, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So here's, we see this is the passage we come to, and we're talking about this whole armor of God, or the panoply of God, as it's also known, that armor of God that we put on. And we're in this fight. And we talked there, or we just read, that it's we have to be strong in the Lord. Our strength comes from God. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 9, we read, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in it, in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And this is right here. I mean, Paul talks about how he has a thorn in the flesh, and he asks God to remove it, and he's praying to God to have it removed, and the Lord says, "I am sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you." That it's not going to be removed. Basically, you got to deal with it. And even in his weakness, he sees their strength within Christ. That's the same thing for us. We should take some pleasure in sometimes going through these battles, going through these temptations. But Christ is enough. That's all we need. We sometimes when we feel like giving up, this armor can help that we're about to talk about. This armor can help us to make it through. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, you know, we most of us probably have this memorized. Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And we're going to see through this armor of God that we're going to put on that Christ is involved in each and every different part. that God is there, that it is through God and Christ that we can have that strength. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn back over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. And in verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. Also I delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord will make us through. He will deliver us through this battle. That's what we have to understand. We must have that faith in and knowing. You know, anyone that goes into battle, they have on armor. If you look at the present military today, they have a helmet. They have Kevlar vests that they wear to protect them from even stray bullets or anything else, shrap metal, that might happen in an explosion. They have on boots that they wear. They have a rifle that they use. They have their armor. And you think back to the time when Paul was writing this in Ephesians chapter 6, who was he around? He was around those Roman guards. He was in prison. Most of the time, whenever he's preaching, he gets thrown in prison left and right. There's Roman prisoners or Roman guards all around him. And that's what he builds this armor off of, is this the Roman armor that he would have seen, that the people in Ephesus would have known about. You know, Rome was the empire at the time. Everybody would have known and seen a Roman guard. They would have known what that military dress looked like. And he takes a spiritual application out of that, just like Christ does in several different occasions in his teachings. This spiritual battle that we are fighting in, that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul can relate to those things needed for that battle. He's going through that battle, like we just read in 2 Timothy. And it's what we need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about that just a moment ago. It's what he needed in that battle was to lean towards Christ. He was weak, but he leaned towards Christ. Let's go back over to a verse in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to put on that whole armor, not just a little bit and piece. You know, it kind of hit me today. I was driving this morning. I told Kelsey, I forgot my watch. And you kind of, if you're used to wearing a watch all the time, or if you always have your wallet with you, or your belt, if you forget those things, you feel naked. That's what I kind of feel like right now. I forgot my watch this morning. And that was an accident. I didn't use it as a point for the lesson, but I did forget my watch. We can't go into battle without girding our loins or putting on our belt. We can't go into battle without our Bibles or the Word of God or the sword that we're going to talk about. We can't. We have to have on that whole armor of God. Because we are going to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he's going to try so hard to come against us. You think, I was told one time, you know, the devil doesn't have to work against the people of the world. He's already won them over. Who's he got to win against? He's got to come against us as Christians, those that he hasn't won over. And so that battle is hard. He's not going to give up. We're going to be tempted, and we need to be ready. That warfare that's going on, that we need to be prepared for. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, and not all have faith. That unreasonable and wicked men, those are actions of the devil. That's Satan trying to use the people of the world against us, your friends, your co-workers. But we can be delivered, that we just read there, that we may be delivered, verse 2. Now, this is a spiritual battle here. It's not a physical one in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. It's an actual spiritual battle. It's not like we have to go out to war with a sword and spears and a shield, and that we're going to go and face Satan in a physical front. No, it's a spiritual battle. If you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, and we do not war against according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That war that has been raging against man to make them fall, they're going to try and take a blow towards Christ, and we have to be ready to punish all disobedience. There in verse 6, we have to be ready for this spiritual battle. So let's look at, what do we have to put on? What is that whole armor that we got to put on? If you look first, you got to gird up your waist. Put on a belt, basically. It's a basic foundation of that uniform. It held up the sword. It allowed the rest of the uniform kind of to attach together. It was essential to this uniform. And you look at this waist, he was able to carry two different swords. He was able, if he had a long robe, you know, if you ever heard the term gird up your loins, you know, they would use this belt, and there might be other strings that they could use, and they could actually strap up, you know, their lower ends of their tunic or their robe and pull it up so that they could run and attack. That was all part of their belt, that attire that they had to have on. And if you didn't have this belt on, you couldn't carry your sword. You couldn't attach your breastplate. You wouldn't be able to go into battle fully prepared. And this waist, the girding up your waist, stood for truth. In John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're not going to get into a lot about this. Eric did a good job last week even talking about truth. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Truth should be studied and in our mind. And it can only help us in battle if we know it, if we know what that truth is. And that's what we're going to see in several of these things. If we don't know it, if we don't study, if we don't know what these things are that Paul is telling us to put on, they can't be effective. We have to study, be involved. You think back to Acts chapter 17, and we haven't got there in our Acts study, but the Bereans, they wanted to know the truth. They searched the scriptures daily. They wanted to find out what that truth was. We need to have an understanding, a belief, that obedience that's involved, and there's a conviction that goes along with that, that's stable and founded in that truth that we're studying. And next, we have to put on that breastplate. And you think about the breastplate that we're going to put on. It covers from, you know, your neck to your waist. Sometimes in other cases, it would even go down to like the upper thigh or cover the waist fully. It would cover the shoulders all around. But what is it covering? Well, physically, that's going to cover your vital organs, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys. It would wrap around. You know, it's going to cover your back, your rib cage, your stomach, your liver. Everything that's vital to keep you going, right? That breastplate stood for that righteousness, which is vital for us, that we should be righteous before God. In Romans chapter 6, if you will turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and in verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You know, in some cases, that instruments of righteousness also is weapons of righteousness to God. Are we being a weapon of righteousness? Are we putting on that breastplate, ready to go to battle? And yes, some of these things, it's funny, they're defensive mechanisms. You think of the breastplate or the shield. That's a defensive mechanism that you would put on. But it's also a, and I just lost my train of thought. It's also an offensive weapon that can be used against the enemy. You're going to deflect their blows. You know, you're going to be able to withstand their fighting, right? They might hit you, but if you have on the whole armor, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to affect you as well, as bad, if you didn't have it on. You know, it stood for righteousness, being morally right, following after God, that good character that we should have. Romans chapter 14. Go over to Romans chapter 14. And in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Go over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. For he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That righteousness will destroy the devil. We are to be righteous as he is righteous. In chapter 2 and in verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. If we're to be like Christ, if we're to be of Christ, we're going to be righteous as he is righteous. We have to be showing that righteousness within us and that breastplate that we're putting on. And in verse 15, if you go back over to Ephesians chapter 6, we read to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. In verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To shod your feet. You know, they oftentimes a Roman soldier, they would wear shoes or sandals. You know, a lot of times some people wouldn't have even sandals. They would walk maybe even barefoot. But these sandals that they would wear, and if you can see down here, they look like cleats or spikes that they would put on. And they would shod those sandals, or those shoes that they wore. And it would sometimes come with the shin protector to protect the legs or even the front side of the feet. But they had these spikes on the bottom to allow them to grip, to have more mobility. Just like you think of an athlete, they would have cleats or spikes on so that they can move and go faster, be able to answer a call at any moment and just jump and go or change directions. You know, a lot of times they were in areas of marshes or swamps, and it was very hard to move. In those cases where they were needing to trudge through that land and fight, they would need these spikes to be able to push back against the enemy, or they would just slide out. And again, with having their feet shod, ready for that preparation, a Roman soldier was always ready. They were ready for that movement at a moment's notice, to go where they were called. That's the same for us. That stood for that preparation, this does, as Paul says. And a Christian must be prepared for the battle. Yeah, I talked to Justin, I talked to one of our interns, I talked to another buddy. People that have actually been in the military, those that have actually fought in present day, and I asked them, you know, what did you do to prepare for battle? How could you do that? And I talked to one of them, and he said, well, one, we trained, we drilled. We did inspections to make sure that we all had on what we needed. They were prepared. In other cases, they set through, Justin explained it to me, they basically tear you down. They psychologically almost tear you down, and they build you up the way that they want you so that you're not hesitant. You're ready, and you're prepared to go to that battle. You know, It was kind of like going into a football game. They'd psych you up. You're ready to fight. Like, that's your time. It's your calling to go to war. And we should be prepared also. We should be ready to go to that battle. We should not be hesitant. We're not going to sit on the sideline. We have to be active in this battle. That means at work, at school, we have to be active in this battle. Satan's going to be active. Why shouldn't we? If we're going to be idle and sit idle on the side, he's going to come after us. Or he's going to come after our family. We have to be attentive. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 2, it 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That's what Paul told Timothy, to be ready in season and out of season. Can we say that we are ready for that? Are we prepared? Have we been studying like we should? Be ready to give that defense. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Are we ready to give that defense? I can say, just as another example, there was a time in my own life, just a personal, I wasn't ready to give that defense, and I felt about this small. I had an opportunity to refute false doctrine, and I didn't do it because I wasn't prepared. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was a lot younger then, but I started crying. I wasn't prepared like I should be as a Christian. Are you that way? Have you prepared? And it takes study. We have to study. We have to prepare. You know, you think of the example of Christ. What did he do from even as a small child? In Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 49, his family had gone to Jerusalem. We're not going to turn to there just for sake of time. But they couldn't find him. And when they came back to Jerusalem to find him, what was he doing? He was sitting in the temple with all the scribes and the Pharisees and all the elders of the city. They're sitting there discussing scripture. And he's asking questions and he's answering. And the people were amazed at this 12-year-old boy, what he could do. Christ, even from a small age, he was preparing for what he was going to have to do. He prepared his entire life for that day to one day die for us and to preach the gospel. Later, he was tempted by Satan. What did he do? He was prepared for that. He used scripture to go against Satan. He used scripture to go against the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, those persecutions he would go through. He was prepared, and we should be as well. Next in our armor that we need to be putting on, that panoply of God, is that shield. We need to put on this shield. And I found several different sizes of shields. There's small, little ones that are circular. But the major one that I found, they were about 4 foot by 2 foot by about 1.5 feet deep. And these shields were made out of wood and sometimes reinforced by metal or iron or bronze or iron or anything else they could find. But it deflected the enemy's blows. And you think of like your main defense mechanism you're going to use, you're going to put a shield up, right? That defense system was also used as a whole unit. These shields worked together. And if one person didn't do their job, it was a weakness in their armor. You know, you think about these guys down here, if one of them fell, one of them didn't put up their shield, there's an opening within their defense. Or up here at the top, they would use these, and you have one going by himself, and I liked this picture because this guy's, he's got his shield, he's got his sword, he's got his armor on, but he's still open. But whenever he works together with his buddies, they're able to cover themselves even more. And you think about us working together. We as Christians need to use our shields together, that defense together. We're going to talk about that some more in just a moment. It stood for faith, that shield of faith in verse 16, back in Ephesians chapter 6. Taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It stood for faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, for hearing the word of God, we shall build that faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear. We got to listen. In Hebrews chapter 11, we think of Hebrews, this great chapter of in chapter 11, this hall of fame of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You think of the faith of Noah and Abraham and Moses, Joshua, Rahab, all these characters that are mentioned here in chapter 11. They had great faith. And they never got to see some of the things come to pass. You think of Abraham. We've been studying in our second to fourth grade class. Abraham, the faith that he had, he was given these promises. The only promise he got to see come true is he had a son from a woman that was barren at 100 years old, and she was 90. That's the faith that he had, but he knew there was going to be, those other promises would be fulfilled. And ultimately, of that goal in heaven that we can see there in chapter 11. You know, believing and having a conviction can help with those temptations and persecution. That faith, facing the enemy. You know, and this is not something that we should have to do together. Like I said, these men, they work together. We have to work together. We're not alone. We can share in each other's burdens. In Galatians chapter 6, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. I was talking to Justin about this one. You know, being a Marine, I asked him, I was like, how did you do that? And he said, one, I was 18 years old, and you kind of think you're invincible when you're 18, I guess. But he said, going into battle, you weren't alone. You had your buddies with you. You felt confidence in knowing you were together. We're in this spiritual battle right now, and we're together. We need to lean on one another, cast each other's burdens on each other. We need to work together. You know, I was telling him in that conversation, you know, me and Kyle and Justin, we have the privilege. We get to work together. We don't get to see each other every day, but we do get to go to some meetings together. And there's some confidence there. If somebody brings something up at work that's of a spiritual nature, and we need to have a discussion, and I need help, I can call either one of those two to come help me. And it's great to know there's other Christians out there, even at work, at school, that we can call upon to help us in a time of need. And any of us here should be able to feel that confidence to know that you can call any one of us to help in a time of need. And we should be able to help one another. We shouldn't be in this fight by ourselves. We need to be giving a defense for Christ along with this, you know, using our faith to give that defense. That shield is a defense mechanism. You know, you think of Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, which we've been studying in class. Those apostles were arrested for standing for Christ, for giving a defense of who Christ was. Paul was giving a defense. The apostles gave a defense because of their faith. They went through these persecutions. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 28, you can read all the persecutions that Paul went through and what he had to go through. He was left for dead. He was basically in, you know, kind of like Jonah. He was buried at sea for like 3 days. He was beaten to a pulp, left for dead, put in prison. All these things, that faith allows us to go through with those. And again, this shield is a defense against those fiery darts. You know, fear, doubt, anxiety, sickness, and you can keep going on with the list of those fiery darts that Satan's going to bring about us. You know, the devil uses anything to tear down our faith. He's going to use people of the world, co-workers, friends, relatives, to try and tear that down. We need to give that defense, and we need to be able to work together in doing so. Next, we come to our helmet. We need to speed up here. In Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That helmet, you know, it could be leather or metal, bronze, silver, steel, any types of material that they use to make these helmets. Some were decorated to kind of show a hierarchy or who was the leader, but they were used to protect your head or parts of your face. And some would cast their helmet aside. You know, a helmet, it gets heavy. We have to wear hard hats at work, and they're a pain. And if you're not used to wearing a hard hat, at the end of the day, your neck hurts and you're tired of looking up and around. It's a pain. It's a lot heavier than just a normal hat. But if I didn't have that hard hat on and a nut or a bolt fell from like 20 or 30 feet up, it's going to leave a pretty bad mark. And some things, a bolt or a nut, that's light. You know, we were doing test dummies, and we were dropping 30 and 75-pound weights onto a hard hat and what it did. It doesn't protect your head too much whenever something like that falls, but you still got to have your hard hat on. We have to put on our hard hat or put on our helmet. Something, it can be cast aside, but we need to keep it on. You know, and something that the enemy can't take away from us is that salvation. You know, it's that sense of security. Salvation is found through Christ. In Acts chapter 4, if you go over to Acts chapter 4, we've read this recently in Justin's class, but in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And this is Peter and the apostle, Peter and John, they're talking back to the Sanhedrin, telling them that that salvation is in Christ, that cornerstone. That's who he's talking about. That salvation is through Christ. It gives us that confidence. It gives us that boldness, ready to go to battle. We already read several scriptures where Paul was bold and he was able to stand and speak. But we can cast it aside. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? We can cast that salvation aside. We can neglect that salvation. Just like a helmet can be cast aside. And again, we come to our sword. In Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, out of all everything that we've discussed, mostly have been defensive weapons. We've showed how they can be kind of an offensive weapon, but the sword is the object of an offensive weapon. It can be used to also defend and use as a defense mechanism. They were often 18 to 24 inches long, two-sided with a tapered point. And those soldiers, those Roman soldiers, they carried them at all times. Again, they were prepared. This sword stood for the Word of God. You know, we know the Word of God over in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and Acts chapter 7 verse 54, we see the term, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart because of the things that were said to them. You know, in each of those instances, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they were cut to the heart. They want to know what do they need to do to be saved. In Acts chapter 7 verse 54, those men wanted to stone Stephen because they didn't like what he was having to say. That word of God convicted them. It changed their heart. They were cut to the heart. That's what the Word of God can be used for. Christ used Scripture when he was tempted. I was going over in with Emerson on her Bible study a couple weeks ago, and they were studying, you know, Christ going through his temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. In each instance that Satan tempts Christ, he says, "It is written." He uses Scripture. He uses the Word of God. And he was tempted just as we are, but did not sin. And he also used exactly what we have, and that's Scripture, to fight the enemy. We can use that same Scripture that Jesus did. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 60, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This completes that armor that we're putting on. In John chapter 16, 13 through 15, that we see of the Spirit, that Spirit that was going to be sent to us, the Holy Spirit was going to be sent by Jesus. And that happened in Acts chapter 2. That's how we got the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the Word of God stands forever. Out of the mouth of Christ in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, is that word of God that came out of Christ, out of the mouth of Christ. And ultimately, in our armor, we have to be praying and being watchful. You know, prayer is not listed as something to put on or even related to a piece of the uniform. But it is something that's needed for battle, and Paul understood that and told them about that. To pray for victory, our fellow soldiers. We prayed just a moment ago, Jim did, even praying that we should be bold, right? He prayed those things. We should always be with us in our fight. You know, Kyle did a great job. He talked about prayer for a whole trimester. We studied that and how we can be better. It's something we have to pray for supplication, that help from God. And we talked about how we have to continue to improve in it. It's not something we just stop someday and become idle with. And we also should be watchful, be ready and running. You know, that I like this picture. It's a Roman soldier basically running. He's going on the attack, ready to go to battle. We should be ready. That enemy will not come, you know, he's not going to come out waving a white flag, I give up. He's going to continue to attack. And we have to fight, just like in 2 Timothy chapter 4, like Paul did, until our every last breath, till that fight is over. And we have to have our armor on for battle at all times. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we must be watchful for that day of the Lord. Be watchful, he says multiple times. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, to be serious and watchful in your prayers. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, watchful and pray or we will enter into that temptation. Are you praying and being watchful? Are you putting on that armor? And to conclude, before we sing the invitation song, Paul ends there in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Because he has that armor on, he can speak boldly in that battle. Paul ends with that confidence that he has. We too need to have that confidence in battle. Psych ourselves up. Do what we got to do. It can be scary. But if we study and prepare, that battle will come easy. We'll be ready to go. And if you're one today that hasn't put on Christ, you haven't put on this armor, you need to do so today. You need to join the Lord's army by being baptized, obeying the will of God, and being baptized in water. And you can do that today as well. You need to join the right side of the battle. If you haven't stayed vigilant in your battle, and you need to repent, that also can be done for you this morning as well. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness, and God is faithful and just to give you that forgiveness. We ask you and bid you to come forward now as we stand and sing.